Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Right, hello. That's it. Tottenham have broken the spell, the cycle, the consecutive away defeats in Europe. We've won 0-0 away at Eintracht Frankfurt. A weirdly noisy, annoying sounding German stadium. I don't care. You know, I was getting dug out on Twitter for saying this, being called some sort of basic English fan. Look, our Northern European brothers are not an oppressed people, all right? This is not punching down. It is completely fine to criticise their silly little flag-waving, incessant, monotone chanting. Shut up. That whistling noise they were making in the second half. Jesus Christ. Lad called Cole said to me on Twitter, who's actually there, just said it's absolutely deafening in the stadium. But anyway, Spurs, yeah, we, as I say, we won 0-0. It was a weirdly frustrating game in some respects, but I've come away from that actually feeling a bit more positive than after the North London derby defeat. Unsurprisingly, I wonder why that is. Sorry, I'm really quite delirious. I'm very tired. I got up very early this morning. Couldn't sleep very well. That's another story. I felt that we approached the game in a slightly different fashion. I think Conte, for all his... You know, he had that tetchy kind of pre-match press conference where he took umbrage of people talking about his defensive football and whether or not, you know, the fans wanted him to play Spence and calling him... saying that he's not stupid, that's why he's not playing Doherty, which I thought was a bit unnecessary, if I'm going to be honest. But regardless, it did feel like he instructed the players to be a lot more aggressive today. I mean, maybe it's the players responding, but I think we put everything in the hands of Antonio Conte now, right? It was good. Romero was really kind of aggressive. I felt in the first half in particular was really kind of giving us an additional thrust. We'll get into individuals a bit more in a minute. You know how this one goes, but yeah, just annoying. The frustration is that we missed a lot of really good chances, one of those days where we just couldn't get that right shot on target, you know. But we created chances. We moved the ball about pretty nicely. Eventually, some of the passing in the first half, it was like a flashback to the kind of death throes of the Mourinho era when we just seemed totally unable to string two or three passes together, just short passes. It was really, really sloppy in places. A lot of unforced errors. Which seems to be, sorry if you just heard some sort of horrible, it wasn't like a burp. You know when something is kind of like a half burp, I would say, when you kind of, air is just escaping? If you heard any grotesque noises, that's what that was. I tried to shield it, but here we go. You know, we're all friends here, aren't we? What the hell was I going on about? We created some good chances, we didn't put them away, did we? No. And that's kind of annoying. It's really annoying. It would have been nice to win this, but you know what I mean. It would have been great to have come away from Frankfurt with a win. I was pretty anxious going into this one, but really, we are miles better than them. We probably should have won on the balance of play, but we didn't. You know, we didn't. So, whatever. There's no point kind of going back on it like that. But I think there's plenty to be positive about in the wake of that, because after that Arsenal game and just kind of the way it's felt, should we say the vibe, and I mean that in the traditional sense, that's not me trying to be kind of, how do you do, fellow kids, the vibe coming out of Tottenham was not an overly positive one. And, you know, that's kind of to be expected after you've just taken a, you know, a humbling from your most hated rivals. But we did a good job tonight. We did do a good job. Felt like we were going up through the gears again. Felt like we were kind of getting a bit of our rhythm back. Yeah, I'm overall pretty happy with that. Let's go through the players. Right, Tottenham, Frankfurt. Let's have a look. Right, Eintracht Frankfurt. I'd be interested to know how everyone's gotten on out there. Good friend of mine, Jack Howes, Debaser 92. He's out there. He doesn't seem to have reported any trouble or anything, but I do know they're supposedly a bit of a tasty side, our old Eintracht Frankfurt. I've seen some people, I think I saw some German Spurs fans on Twitter basically say they're kind of a bit of a Chelsea, West Ham, Millwall of Germany. Got a really questionable element in their fan base and just, yeah, not particularly nice team. So kind of jump away from, I've been saying in ahead of this that they're kind of like the German Spurs because they don't win stuff and it's Eintracht-y, you know, but apparently it's not. Apparently they're actually quite scummy, so we'll get away from them. Hugo Lloris, better. Couldn't have been much worse than the other day. Didn't have an awful lot to do. He made that one save from the opportunity. It looked like it was offside early on in the second half. I don't know how the hell he managed to break the offside trap, the attacker, but they pinged a lovely little ball for him and he had that kind of semi-acrobatic, me sat here, a large man podcasting, semi-acrobatic. the acrobatic attempt on goal, which Lloris palmed away, but I'm not going to lie, when Lloris made that save, I did instantly think of Garth Crooks saying his comments this week, how he said that Hugo Lloris makes a lot of easy saves look difficult, because yeah, basically, you know, saves for the camera, that type of thing, the old trope that they check at goalkeepers. But yeah, decent performance. Fine. We can talk more about Lloris in depth of like one of the two person pods, because I think there is a sort of conversation opening up there about him. Christian Romero, miles better today. I thought looked much more like his old self. Whether he's been playing within himself, if he's trying to avoid injury for Argentina, you know, one of the conspiracy theories that I may or may not have been floating on WhatsApp. Or whether or not it's anything to do with, what is it, like when Conte said, you know, he plays with a hot heart or something, but he needs to start playing with his head, not his heart, blah, blah, blah. And he, I think he reflected on that, saying he's trying to calm down his game and whatever, but felt like that went out the window again tonight. And you know what, like, just kind of stick with that, lad. We've seen kind of like young players kind of dampen their fires, if you like. We saw it with Rooney back in the day. We saw it with Dele Alli to a certain extent. Like, just, you know, if it's the caliente that kind of gets you going, lad, then fucking just run with it. More of that tonight. Eric Dier again, just a very Eric Dier performance. Just like solid, dependable, did his job, did everything he needed to do. I feel like there was one moment when he was he had one little wobble where he didn't really clear the ball very cleanly. And I think Eric Dier's importance to the team is really highlighted when early in the first half he kind of jarred his knee a bit. And it looked like he was, I mean, this was like opening minutes of the game. And he sort of, I think he like signaled to the sidelines or something like that. And the commentary team picked up on it. And instantly, like, my heart sunk, you know? I was like, oh, fuck. It wasn't that same kind of feeling that you get when a player that you know you rely upon, but you kind of think, well, let's roll the dice, let's see what somebody else can do. I would just I wouldn't want to lose Eric Dier at the moment, you know? Really wouldn't want to. I think he's been one of our best players this year. Just, like I say, steady Eddie, dependable, solid. Pinging a good few balls around as well. We know he's got a good range of passing on him. He's a good footballer, Eric Dier. So it was good to see him sort of starting to show that off. Clemen Longley, again, another solid performance. He was, you know what, by the end he was lucky not to have been sent off. I actually missed how he got his first yellow card. I'm not quite sure where that came from. I do want to say this referee tonight was fucking appalling, utterly fucking appalling, to the point where I actually tweeted that I think he was on the take, because some bizarre decisions. Giving them a free kick when they were just fouling Kane. I think it was either towards the end of the first half or start of the second half. There was like a tussle, you know, near the centre circle. Just there was no case whatsoever to be made for Kane being the offender in that situation. But yep, the referee made it. Booking Højbjerg for handing off a player. Just there was some bizarre decisions. But Clemen Longley, yeah, I don't know where he got his first yellow card from. I honestly can't remember. But the second one that they missed, and we took him off like immediately after it as well. He should have been sent. Yeah, it was another yellow card. So yeah, just keep that in check a bit. And it would have been a silly one as well. It would have been annoying to see him get sent off for that. So just keep your head, lad, because he had a good game otherwise, I thought. Much like Dier, kind of solid, dependable. It was good performance from our defenders again today. Emerson Royale, you know, I could lump him and Richarlison in together, but I think Richarlison's a slightly different one. But I just felt our right hand side was ineffective. Look, this, I completely get, right, that. And I agree, there's two different arguments here, right? Because I tweeted my sort of dissatisfaction with Conte once again. And he was asked, he was prompted to comment on Jed Spence. So, you know, I there's only so far I can go in my criticism of him responding to that. But I still feel like when he comes to talking about Jed Spence, just tone it down a bit, mate. Like, you don't need to, he's a 19-year-old. We get it. You didn't want him. He wasn't part of your plans. It's a club signing. You've made that abundantly clear. But he is yours now. Transfer window's shut. Looks like a talented player. Like, if you don't want to play him, fine. But just don't go so in depth in the kind of public kind of explanation as to why. Because it just feels like a put down. And it's clearly not landing, right? We've seen his sister sort of messaging about it, kind of a messaging, fucking hell. Put something on her Instagram story about it in the week, which, you know, family members are going to do that. I find it annoying when family members do that. If I was a professional in that, in any sense, and I had like anyone in my family kind of sharing kind of grievances about my job publicly, it would be irritating. Remember Brian Lamella in the early days when he always used to have his say on everything? Like, it gets a bit irritating. But she's done one thing, whatever. You know, it's her brother at the end of the day. She loves him and she's going to sort of stick up for him. It's beside the point, you know, doesn't matter what we're going to do. Like, tell his sister not to do it, you know. She do whatever she wants. But yeah, sort of stop digging Jed Spence out, because as many people have made this point, we talk about him not being ready, but are Emerson's performances looking ready? And I'm sort of on the side of things where I think the criticism of Emerson is quite pronounced. I think it's quite over the top in places. I think he's a solid player. I think he's a fine-ish player. I do think the past few games, his performances have been subpar. So, you know, but it doesn't look like he's going to bring Doherty in anytime soon. I mean, I guess he's going to have to in the league. But again, an oddly unnecessary comment, I felt. It may be, if I'm to give him the benefit of the doubt, it may be a kind of a sort of turn of phrase that isn't, or just, you know, a kind of a way of speaking that may be just sort of lost in translation. You know, the headline has been taken. Of course, I'm not stupid. I didn't play Doherty. I want to win games. But maybe, you know, maybe it's, I don't know. If anybody, you know, if any Italians are listening, maybe, you know, maybe there's an inflection to this that's being missed, because it feels oddly harsh, especially for a player that he actually seemed to take a, you know, a bit of a fancying to. Højbjerg, sensational today. I thought he was man of the match for us. I really did. I thought he was absolutely brilliant. I thought he commanded the midfield. I thought he was playing well, kind of going forwards as well, picking out decent passes, breaking up a lot of like Frankfurt's play. He was everywhere. He was a menace. His fitness is unbelievable. One thing that he deserves so much more credit for is his fitness. He's there week in, week out, always giving 110%. Sensational performance from him today. I really did think he was brilliant. It was just nice to see him playing more as an all-round midfielder. Because that was something I was moaning about after the Arsenal game, that him and Benzenko just seemed to be reduced to people who tackle. But he seemed a lot more than that today. Yellow card, completely unjustified. Like, ridiculous. Fucking ridiculous decision. But fantastic performance from him. Man of the match for me. Bentancur, great as well. Just short Højbjerg, but brilliant. He made that one beautiful surging run in the second half that Son didn't do anything with, really frustratingly. But yeah, another great performance. He's a funny one, Bentancur, man. Like, I still, like, even like physically, I can't quite work him out. I still can't quite work out what type of player he is, other than really good.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Couldn't say if we're definitely utilising him in the correct way or the best way, but he's making a fucking damn good job of it. And he makes it really hard to drop, right? I really want to see Bissouma. I really want to see Skip, actually. I didn't talk about Skip after the North London Derby pod, because I just kind of went through who had started, and then I just, whatever, it was hard enough recording that one as it is. But Skip, when he came on, looked really tidy, really good. But I think Skip is a more natural replacement for Højbjerg. Højbjerg, like I say, he seems to be the Terminator, so maybe he won't need a rest. But, you know, maybe we could see the Skip Bissouma double pivot. See him against, maybe in the Carling Cup or something like that. Carling Cup, Carabao Cup. But really, really impressive, Højbjerg and Bentancur today. And it's funny, like, the you know, surprise, surprise, when our actual midfield seems to have more run of it, we look better as a team overall. Even Perisic, yeah, a so-so performance. The extra inch, lads. Windy in particular, is not particularly happy with Perisic at the moment, and I wasn't sure how much I shared his criticism of him. I still think Perisic is one of our better players. I think for his age, I think just for a player in general, his fitness is still pretty unbelievable. One of Windy's main points was, you know, I'm not just completely like calling out Windy, I'm just commenting on, I'd listened to their pod today, that his one-on-one defending isn't the best, and yeah, I probably agree with that. But the funny thing is, I've always sort of seen Perisic, I guess, more as a more sort of advanced player anyway. Perhaps somebody in another team setup would be playing where Son's playing for us right now. But he whipped in a couple of really decent balls tonight. I thought he was, you know, industrious down the wing. Decent performance, really decent performance. And Sessegnon, who replaced him, actually looked really bright in the time that he was on the pitch. And I do want to see more from Sessegnon again. I really like Sessegnon. Like I said, I think he's got a high ceiling. I am starting to, you know, I had, when Sessegnon had his run in the team, I was starting to lose a bit of patience with his, and it sounds harsh, man, you know, he's just a human being at the end of the day, but he's also a highly paid professional athlete, so you have to sort of reserve your sympathy in a, I guess, in a slightly different way, I suppose. But it seemed to be that it's constantly with Sessegnon, it's his self-belief, and it kind of comes a point where I just sort of want him to just kind of believe in himself and just go with it, you know? Because you can't wait around forever at this level. But I like him. I think, you know, there's a real player there in Sessegnon. But Perisic as well, yeah, good performance tonight. It was unlucky he didn't sort of end with an assist, because he provided a lot of decent kind of opportunities for us. Richarlison, not a very good performance from him tonight, I didn't think. He tried. I think he's getting a bit frustrated being out on the wing the way he is. He's trying to make the most of it. But, you know, the ball was just not sticking to his feet at all. It didn't seem like he could just get a proper handle on it and make a decent run. And every time he did kind of get the ball, he was just running into players. I seem to recall him playing a few decent little passes here and there. We're starting to see a few of, like, Conte's automations coming out, I felt. And Richarlison, I felt like he did play a few neat kind of 1-2 touch passes here and there. But overall, it was a pretty frustrating night for him, I felt. He didn't share himself in glory. And I don't think it's entirely his fault. I think he's kind of been asked to play in a position that, I've said it, you know, probably about 1,000 times in this pod now, I do think he's a rotation option for Kane in an ideal world. I think he is that focal point of an attack. And he's trying his best where he is at the moment, but I just don't think he's that well suited to it personally. So, you know, I don't sort of dig him out too much or anything like that. But yeah, probably one to forget, one to sort of, you know, on we go to the next for Richarlison. Much the same for Son, I would say. Son, similar thing with Richarlison, just didn't seem like he could ever get the ball to stick to his feet. He was really sloppy with quite a lot of his dribbling at times. I can't tell if he's just tired or if time is just catching up with him. But even on the break, sometimes it looks like he's not quite as quick as he was just a few months ago. And mostly, he was just very profligate. There was that one opportunity that Son last season, Son sort of in the past 2-3 seasons would have put away with ease. Chance in the first half when Kane put him through, clear on goal. And me and Charlotte were cheering, like, as if it had gone in. You know, it was one of those you thought, oh, that's gone in. That's a goal. That is a goal. But he somehow missed it. He sort of looked like he couldn't quite believe that he'd missed it. So it continues to be a kind of strange, frustrating season for Son. There's obviously an unbelievable footballer in there, but, you know, who knows right now? It's a difficult one. But he's bright. He causes problems to the opposition. He keeps them occupied. So I don't think his presence is particularly harmful. It's just frustrating because we still compare him to what he was. And it's always going to leave that question as to whether or not he's still capable of that. He set his own bar very high, basically. Before we get on to Kane, I will talk about Brian Hill, because he came on and replaced Richarlison. And that was a cameo from a player that looked like he wants game time. He wants to play for us. Because, yeah, he got caught in possession a couple of times. He got knocked off the ball a couple of times, which is why I suspect he's not getting more time under Conte. We know Conte likes his big, strong lads. You just have to look at our team to see the sort of profile of player that Antonio Conte likes. And Brian Hill doesn't quite fit that mould. He is a diminutive footballer, and not in the way that someone like Luka Modric, who was also hard as nails and had that really low centre of gravity and was just hard, you know, big fucking legs and, like, you tell, just a fucking granite core, really hard to knock off the ball. Whereas Brian Hill, you could see he got knocked off the ball a couple of times. But what he did have is a positive approach, like dropping deep to pick up the ball and carry it forward with real menace, real purpose. I love the way he plays the ball with the outside of his foot. I know that sounds silly, but it's just one of those little observations that when I see players doing that, especially on the break, when they're in their full stride and you just see them like knock a ball forward with the outside of their foot, it's just so satisfying to see. And there's quite a lot of that from him. There was that like one little moment down where he lost the ball outside our box, but tracked the player all the way down into the corner, managed to retrieve the ball, and then did that nice little skill to get out of there, skinned a couple of players in the process until he was fouled again. He's an exciting player. I mean, the annoying thing is when we were playing him a bit at the start, I think it was Adam Nathan, who said that Brian Hill already looks like that player who's just never going to score for Tottenham. I think it was against, maybe it was like Pacas de Ferreira, when he had like so many decent chances and they just weren't. I think he hit the post and the keeper made a couple of good saves and there was a couple that just went just wide. But he's a positive player, man. He is so clearly talented. It would be so great if we could start to get something out of him. Because, look, you know, if he could become an option instead of Lucas Moura. Because Lucas, I don't know what's... I don't know if... We've heard that Lucas Moura's out with some long-term injury. I'm not even entirely sure what it is. So, you know... Basically, if we can have Brian Hill in there, it would be nice. Someone else that can play football. It'd be interesting to see what Hill and Kulusevski could do either side of Richarlison in the middle, if we wanted a real kind of rotated front three for a cup game or something like that. I'd be quite here for seeing how that worked. I feel like it could be quite nice. But the point that remains from all of this is just how much we miss Kulusevski. I sort of cagily say our most important, if not maybe our best player. Sounds a bit ridiculous because we've still got Harry Kane, and I don't know how you really quantify who's our best player. It just feels like in this moment, if you like, kind of the momentum, or at least in this moment being the end of last season, it felt like Kulusevski was just our main guy. It felt like a really important player for us. There's been the sort of the strangeness with Conte, his hesitance to play him for a lot of this year. And obviously now he's got this injury that we initially said is a couple of games, but now I believe there's a more kind of cagey prognosis on it. The sort of classic Tottenham injury update cycle. But we need him back. We need Kulusevski back. But yeah, Brian, I really hope we get to see more of Brian Hill. I really do, because I think there's a really good player there. I'm not going to campaign for it. I'm not going to kind of say the the manager doesn't know what he's doing if he doesn't end up wanting to play him. You know, I'm not wedded to the idea of Brian Hill, because I can also see some arguments as to why, you know, we may not kind of use him. Like, I don't know. I would like to see him in an ideal world, but whatever. If we can get some decent money for him, if somebody does come back in for him, Valencia, whoever, then maybe we can just move on. But for now, I would like to see us try and use him. Harry Kane, I don't think he's... I think he needs a rest. I sort of said that at the top end about Richarlison being a rotation option for him. I would maybe even go as far as to say against Brighton, I would start Richarlison, Hill and Son, maybe, if Kulusevski's not fit. If Kulusevski's fit, I'd be quite up for even trying Richarlison, Kulusevski and Hill. That's not going to happen, is it, obviously? But I just don't think Kane was sharp. There are a couple of opportunities where he got a ball kind of... I think one of the crosses, Son had a cross that... You know, the one where Kane ended up sort of in the net himself, and maybe Son's cross wasn't the best, but there was another one. I think maybe it was another Son cross as well earlier on in the game in the first half that Kane just couldn't. Yeah, it was that Son cross. I think they worked it from a corner and Son whipped in an almost like Kulusevski type ball, and Kane just couldn't quite get on the end of it. And to me, it was just indicative of Kane's overall performance. It just looks like he's not quite sharp. And I just think maybe it's just cumulative fatigue. Like, he plays a lot of games. You know, England never give him a fucking break. And Conte puts him in basically every single game. And you can understand why. It's Harry Kane, you know. But I do think it's starting to take its toll. And when we're looking at kind of October, we're looking at the schedule, the way it is. I don't think it hurts to start games with Richarlison up top and then bring Kane on 60 minutes or something like that for a couple of games. I'm not playing into any idea that I don't rate Harry Kane or anything like Harry Kane is the greatest player I will ever see in a Tottenham shirt. I say that on many, many an occasion. I know Harry Kane, when he's on the pitch, there's always the opportunity for us to score goals when he's there. I just think at the moment we're not getting the best out of him because I think he's tired. I think he's overworked. And I think a simple solution to two problems that we have, number one being Richarlison's lack of effectiveness out on the wing and Harry Kane's basically lack of match sharpness, lack of fitness, could be solved by just sticking Richarlison up top and building around him. Even if we just play two up top, Richarlison and Son, I don't know. Richarlison, Kulusevski, maybe. If Kulusevski is fit, I don't know how that would work. But maybe it would. Who knows? Give it a go. But yeah, that's about it tonight. I don't know. Maybe I'll do another pod before Brighton. I don't know. We'll see. It's up in the air. We'll let the gods decide. But yeah, please, if you have enjoyed it, leave a review. Leave a rating on your chosen podcast platform. Thanks again to everybody who is supporting the show through the Buy Me a Coffee link in the bio on the Twitter page, Twitter profile, whatever way you want to call it. It's much appreciated. Thank you very much. I've also done a little poll on there. I'm sort of, you know, it's just an idea right now. It's literally just an idea. Excites and interests me as much as it absolutely terrifies me, and I think, oh god, this could be an awful idea and I'd completely freeze on stage. But I'm kind of feeling like maybe it could do like a live show, and I was interested to know how much of an appetite there would be for that. I'm not going to force it if there isn't, but my thought would be after the World Cup, pick an away game, find a decent venue in London where we can get, you know, whatever, an audience there. Me, a couple of different guests, 2-3 different guests. We can have a chat before the game. Everyone can have some beers, watch the football that will be screened at said space, then go in for a post-match pod with the same people, little live show, I don't know, get a band or something there, whatever. It's just, I'm just being completely clear with you, you know? I don't have anyone to butt heads with at the moment. Raj is busy. So, you know, you can help. Anybody that listens to this, the solo pod, you can be my muse. You can give me some ideas or some tips if anybody has ever put on the live event or anything like that before. Anyone good with sound, anyone good at recording it, would be nice to put it out as a recorded pod as well. Anything like that, any tips. And also just any, if you are interested, if that does sound appealing to you, let me know. I've done a poll on the Rule the Roost Twitter account. So vote in that, let me know, and then I can start. If it does feel like there's a genuine appetite there to do it, I can look at kind of making it a more serious thing and then try and prepare myself for that. Anyway, I'm going to bed. I'm absolutely knackered. Come on, you Spurs.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.